plate a potential nugget.
And double click on the Infosys journey, Nandan. In about 20 years, you built Infosys, you went public, and then you became the CEO. By the time, I think the company was around clocking $600 million from a turnover perspective. And in the next few years, you grew it 5x to make it $3 billion. Just as you reflect on the journey, in your head, what were the key inflection points from a leadership standpoint, if you reflect on your personal journey as the company grew?
Yeah, no, I think this is another very important message, especially for founders who want to remain at the helm of the company for a long time.
Right.
And we see that often today, even in India, where startups, the CEO, often the founders lose their role to
right.
professional CEOs. And even in the US, it's quite common. And I think it's the, apart from having that vision and all that stuff, it's the ability to understand that you need to reinvent yourself at every point.
Mm.
That's very important. So, for example, up to the time we went public in 1993, we were a private company and we all did everything. And that model was fine when the company was still just a few million dollars. But as we looked at going public, initially in India in 1993, we realized that this model was not going to work. And secondly, we realized that as global competition became more intensive, we couldn't just be a small unknown company. We had to be visible.
Sure.
So it required a change in strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And that also meant that we had to bring in talented people from the outside. And so I think, and that meant that we had to change our role.
Mm.
It was less about doing everything ourselves. It was more about creating a structure, a strategy, getting the right leadership team, empowering them properly and so on. So I think the first transition happened in 93 when we went from being a private company to a public company.
Mm-hmm.
And also when we took off on our growth curve.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one transition going
right.
from a bunch of founders going, doing all the things to creating a professional management and creating enough space
right.
to attract high quality talent and give them the empowerment to perform. That's very important because
right.
if founders bring in people and then don't empower
right.
them, then it doesn't work. I think the second transition was in 99
mm-hmm.
when we became the first Indian company to list on NASDAQ.
Right.
And that brought us to a whole new level of visibility, but also accountability and the level of detail that US analysts look at your company and all. It was a whole new experience for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we realized that we had to raise the game even further,
mm-hmm.
Which means very high standards of corporate governance, very good predictability of business, being able to explain business, good and bad, to analysts. All new skills have to be learned.
Sure.
That was, to me, the second big transition.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the third transition was around, was when, after the crash
mm-hmm.
in 2001, when we realized that we had to really make our products and services even more value added to attract customers. And then I think when we crossed the $1 billion mark, and because after a billion, we said, how do we go to 10 billion, which
sure.
Infosys reached recently. So I think these are all the major transition points.
Got it. And back to one of the things you mentioned in the first transition, when you get key talent from the outside, what's been your experience in terms of what it takes to give them, empowering them and helping them succeed?
Well, I think it's to realize that they are not going to do everything the way you do it. So there's no point in saying, why are you not doing the way I did it? But making sure that as long as they have the right intentions, they have the right talent and they have the right skills, then let them, giving them the space to operate.
Mm.
Being very clear in your strategy, your articulation, your future direction, your rules, your budgets, everything. Reduce ambiguity. Reduce unpredictability.
Mm.
Because professional managers often get rattled by volatility of decision making. So, putting a structure in place that gives them continuity of purpose and empowering them, financially empowering them, decision making empowering them, also visibility, making sure that they also become recognized in their field. All these are important things.
Got it. And in terms of your transition, Nandan, when you took on the Infosys CEO role from Mr. Narayanamurthy, two things there, right? One is taking on leadership when someone else has been a leader. So that sort of style transition. And second is that's probably a time where you were leading some of your other co-founders, and maybe some of them were technically reporting in to you.
All of them were, yeah.
So how do you deal, what are the lessons to be learned on managing the transition?
Yeah, so I think it's very important again, because it's a very good issue question that how do you, but fortunately in Infosys we have the discipline that whoever was elected the leader, the others would follow him. Hmm. So that was one good thing. And the second is that, again, give enough space, give them enough room to do their jobs, give them enough visibility and so on. And also, I think I also very consciously said, I'll spend my time on building the global aspect of our business. Hmm. So I consciously carved out for myself, because I was playing, which is how to become a global brand, how to become internationally recognized, how to do rainmaking with global customers. You know, that is all what I did. So that also, that was required to take it from 600 million to 3 billion. But it had another benefit that a lot of the roles inside the company were still had to be done.
Got it. Makes sense. So it's also about carving out a piece which is different and distinct and fit for purpose, yeah, given the company's, yeah, evolution. Yeah. Got it. And just from the Infosys journey, again, a startup, the company is often going through a turbocharged growth. How do leaders scale up the leadership muscle to stay relevant?
Yeah, so I think that's a very good point. I think the leadership style at 1 million is different from a leadership type at 100 million.
Right.
It's different from 1 billion, different from 10 billion.
Correct.
And I think being able to recognize that each of them are different scale, it requires different leadership. It's not doing it, but getting it done from others. Hmm. It's about visioning better. It's about empowering better. These are all very important skills. I mean, if you look at Amazon journey, it's 20 years now from going public.
Right.
It's grown from nothing to this massive corporation because Jeff Bezos was able to reinvent himself as the scale goes up.
And how did you grow as a person? If you had to decode how you grew, lessons to be learned?
I mean, I didn't have a coach like you. So we had to learn it by ourselves. Everything was on our own. None of us had an MBA degree. None of us had worked in a large company before. None of us had, the classical management experience kind of thing. So it was all about, but I think once you have a goal, then, and if you do it very logically, you can actually say, okay, this is what I need to do.
Understood. I'm reminded of something that I picked up from an interview of Phil Libin, the person who founded the company Evernote. He talks about the advice he received once from Hiroshi Mikitani, the CEO of the Japanese retail giant Rakuten. It's about a $15 billion US company. And just to give some sense of their relevance on the global stage, their logo will soon start appearing on the t-shirt of the Barcelona Football Club soon. They have a sponsorship contract till 2020. Phil Libin refers to this as a rule of 3 and 10, 3x being a span breaker for 10x. He says that when you go from x to 3x to 10x and so on, almost everything breaks and needs to be thought through once again from first principles. Communication systems, org structure, leadership, processes and so on, everything. The other interesting point he makes is that once you get to 10,000 people, it will take a while for you to get to 30,000. So you can have some stability of systems, processes and leadership. But when you're cycling through 1, 3, 10, 30, 100 and so on, the velocity of change is so high that it's very easy to miss a few steps and end up with all kinds of broken stuff. So just watching out for these transitions and addressing them proactively can ensure that hairline cracks during transitions don't turn into fractures. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.